to the fifth case, United States v. Carraway. Mr. Bruno.
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the Court and you, Mr. Cox. Lisa Owens is a liar. That's a fairly bold statement, but Lisa Owens must be a liar because she takes the witness stand, testifies under oath that she's a liar. So she's either truthfully saying she's a liar or she's lying that she's a liar. It's logically impossible for her not to be a liar. Now, the principle's well established that mere presence where there is crack cocaine isn't enough to show knowing possession. You need to have something that indicates the knowingness. You need to have something more than being found in a house that has crack cocaine in it. Lisa Owens makes that connection here.
So let me just throw two things at you. One of them is that even though people lie sometimes, they don't lie other times, and it's normally the jury's or the trier of fact, whatever it may be, is duty to decide when lying is happening and when it isn't. And secondly, just in the overall context of this case, where Mr. Carraway has a key to the house, that he's, you know, there are men's clothes there, whose crack do you think this was? Do you think the jury should have thought that it was Lisa Owens' operation top to bottom, or what other explanation?
Your Honor, it was a bench trial. And yeah. I think that...
So what was the judge supposed to think? You know, that it was all her deal?
Well, with all due respect, I think we're in a society that had the genders been reversed here, no one would have ever doubted that it was the guy's... you know, we come from this sometimes, from this mentality that just because the woman said... There's crack cocaine found in a kitchen cabinet. It's her house. It's her apartment. And she says it's his, that somehow is the... is the presumption. People do sometimes lie and sometimes tell the truth, but Lisa Owens, and the record in this case is clear, lies so much and in so many different ways and for exactly the same reasons that she was lying here that a pattern has developed that no reasonable person could ignore the reasonable doubt that's raised by that. No reasonable...
So Judge McCuskey... slipped off the tracks, or what?
I think he did, Your Honor. That's my point. I think that what Judge McCuskey did here, he had his doubts. In fact, that the transcript at pages 163 to 165 of the transcript, Judge McCuskey says to her, "Let me ask you this," in the court's questioning of Lisa Owens. "Let me ask you this. Why should I believe you? You've said that you've possessed crack cocaine before. It sounds to me like these could be your drugs. It's your house, and now you want to put it off on Jamel Carraway." That's the court's own comments. I think that's indicative of the fact that he had doubts.
What about the fact that Mr. Carraway had moist crack cocaine on him that was the same as the moist crack cocaine in the cabinets? How do you get around that? Lisa Owens had nothing to do with that.
The case is about the quantity of cocaine in the kitchen cabinet requires somehow that kitchen cabinet cocaine be linked to Jamel Carraway.
But that's 103. I understand, but grams. The fact that the moist, as it had just been cooked, cocaine found on his person appears to be the same moist cocaine found in the cabinets.
Perhaps.
That's a direct link.
And that may be placing an undue amount of weight on some police officer's description of them both being moist. I don't know that was a significant piece of evidence that they're both somehow moist. The people come home, the police are there, there's a couple of thawing steaks on the counter, and Jamel Carraway has a small amount of crack cocaine in his pocket. But Lisa Owens admits that she's a deliverer, distributor, brings the cash home. She plays that she's got her role in it as well. She testifies that on her fraud conviction for defrauding the public aid, that she lied. She lied to public aid, and when she pled guilty, she tells the court, "I'd do that again. If it's to her advantage, she'd lie to public aid again." Then she's got a possession of crack cocaine conviction. She says she was really not guilty of it.
Why aren't you just asking us to second-guess the district court's credibility determinations?
Well, I'm asking you not to second-guess those determinations, but to determine that no reasonable person, no reasonable trier of fact, could have come to this conclusion with the keystone critical witness here having such an acknowledged pattern of lying.
But that is second-guessing, because as you yourself have pointed out, the district court was perfectly aware that this was an important question. Otherwise,
yes,
he wouldn't have had that exchange with Lisa Owens.
He has the exchange with her,
and when all is said and done, he comes to the conclusion that her testimony about Carraway's role in the cocaine business, if you will, was a truthful part of what she said, and that she had come forward with the problems. That's his call. Now, if you want us to make a different call, I think that's just telling us to disagree with him.
But that's his call, so long as some rational person, some reasonable trier of fact, could make that call.
But he knew everything about Ms. Owens that you're talking about right now.
Well, that
there's no new information here. It was all brought forth for him.
Yes, but that, by definition, is the case whenever courts are called upon to examine insufficiency of the evidence, that somebody's already found the person guilty.
But when I think of cases where this court has said that there's a problem with a credibility finding, it's really just that narrow group of cases. You know, if Ms. Owens had said, you know, we were in Decatur, and 15 minutes later, you know, we were in the north side of Chicago, you'd say, well, you just can't do that. It's physically impossible. But on the whole, credibility is something that's simply allocated to the district court.
Well, I acknowledge that, Your Honor. But in this case, with her prior convictions and her testimony in this case that she had lied before in court, she would lie again in the future, she's lying to her husband about her relationship with Jermell Carraway, lie, that no reasonable trier of fact could overlook all of that and say, I have no reasonable doubt in this case.
What about the corroborating evidence? And are you asking us to disregard that? The defendant had keys to the home. He had clothing at the home. He had photographs there. He was in the kitchen where the drugs were when the agents came conduct the search. He had a significant amount of cash in the drawer where his boxer shorts were.
Then
the cocaine on him, the moist crack cocaine.
The connection of the cash to him comes completely from Lisa Owens' testimony. The other things that you're pointing out are simply that he's in the same house where this crack cocaine is, and the cases are legion about merely being at the same location of something doesn't mean you knowingly possessed it. So we have to get from that merely being in the same location to a connection between him and knowing it's in the kitchen cabinet. Lisa Owens makes that connection. She has got such a pattern of a lack of honesty in courts and has admitted she would do it again in the future that it's my position, it's our position, that the district court made a ruling that no reasonable trier of fact could have made under these circumstances.
Did you waive or forfeit your constitutional arguments by not raising them below? You raise here a variety of constitutional Sixth Amendment, due process, separation of powers arguments.
Well, I think we raised them at the sentencing hearing. I know there was discussion about don't sentence him to mandatory life at the sentencing hearing.
And there may have been don't sentence him to mandatory life, but I didn't see anywhere where you said because it violates due process, violates the Sixth Amendment, etc.
You're right. I did not articulate that, but there was a significant amount of the sentencing hearing devoted to don't do this, Judge McCuskey. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bruno. Mr. Cox.
Good morning again, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Just first with regard to your question, Judge St. Eve, it's our position that at the very least Mr. Carraway forfeited his constitutional arguments with regard to the sentencing. I can't point to anything in the record where he made a conscious decision to not raise those arguments, and so I think the safer course would be to argue that it was forfeited and therefore be a plain error review.
So why wouldn't it be enough if this court were not inclined to overrule a great number of cases to say even though it's forfeited, we can regard it as preserved for later Supreme Court attention?
I think you can, Your Honor, and quite frankly, we wouldn't have any objection to that. I think that was probably Mr. Bruno's intention all along. This kind of comes up in a lot of these cases with regard to the crack cocaine sentencing, and at least in my office, I think we've taken very reasonable positions with regard to giving the benefits that have accrued later in the sentencing laws with regard to crack cocaine to defendants, because it's clear where the law is going with regard to that, and we've tried to, let's put it this way, not be obstreperous or unnecessarily obstreperous with regard to that. With regard to the sufficiency of the evidence, I think it's, I mean, we just have to return to the standard of review here, and Mr. Bruno makes a nice closing argument here, the same closing argument he made to Judge McCuskey, and the fact of the matter is Judge McCuskey made a specific finding in this case that he found Lisa Owens credible. And he was obviously aware of all of the things that Mr. Bruno pointed out as to why her credibility should be questioned. She was an admitted liar, a two-time convicted felon. She was a participant in the very offense. She'd reached a favorable plea agreement with the government for her cooperation in this case. All of those things were known to Judge McCuskey, and he still found her credible. And there's nothing about her testimony here at this level, here in the appellate court, that was physically impossible or against the laws of nature. She was an eyewitness. I mean, so there's certainly no reason to cast any question with regard to was she able to see and observe that about which she testified. And finally, there was significant corroborating evidence as well, even without Ms. Owens' testimony, although it certainly was very important. I mean, Mr. Carraway had the keys to the very house where the crack cocaine was found. He had crack cocaine, as Judge Eve pointed out, that was still moist.
The keys, really, are your strongest corroboration that don't depend on Ms. Owens linking up the fact of the corroboration to Mr. Carraway.
And that he's present at the time, that he's in the kitchen, that the police officers see it, that he closes the blinds and runs away, indicative, in my view, of some consciousness of guilt. He has 2.3 grams of moist cocaine, crack cocaine, the same as in the kitchen cabinet and the same as on the counter. All of those things would tend to suggest that he was involved in the possession with intent to distribute crack cocaine. The court has no further questions, and I would, again, yield the balance of my time. Thank you very much.
He does have keys to the house. He's living there. He's living there with the wife of a man who's off in prison with his brother. And we concede the fact that he lives there. But only Lisa says, the money in the drawer, you found in the drawer, that where I go put money after I deliver crack cocaine, that's not my money, that's his money. And Lisa says, that's his stuff in the kitchen cabinet. I think the insufficiency of the evidence argument is based upon no reasonable trier of fact being able to ignore the reasonable doubt in the room here.
Mr. Bruno, was there any limitation at all on your cross-examination of
Lisa?
Lisa?
No. No, I cross-examined her, and the court chimed in because it was so...
I know you pointed it out, so... Your argument almost reaches the point that she should be disqualified. I mean, do we have any case where a witness is, in your view, so unreliable that the court shouldn't take any account of,
well,
like if she gave the time of day or date or...
if you read the transcript here, that's how it reads. Everyone in the room knew she was lying. It was just a matter of picking through what are the lies and what are the truth.
Well, there's not everybody in the room was just the judge. There was no jury here, which
no.
You know,
I think the marshal knew she was lying, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bruno. I first of all thank you, Mr. Cox, and Ms. Bruno, thank you, as we thank all counsel. But I want to give you an additional thanks for accepting this appointment and ably representing.
It's appreciated, Your Honor. Thank you.